This is your guy, Ken Hodge, live on the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast, and I've got another treat for you. In the studio today, I've got Tom Giampa from Federal Injury Centers, and he's going to co-host the show not only today, but every week. He will be the subject matter expert that is attached to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast that's going to keep you in the know. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, Kenny, how you been?
Yeah, it's our first time actually recording together, man. Normally it's on the phone. You're somewhere else, and that somewhere could be anywhere. But hey, today I'm glad to have you here today, and my audience is very excited because they're going to learn today about appeals. And without further ado, talk to them, Tom.
Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. So usually when I talk to folks, you know, they ask, what happens if I get denied? Okay, the question is not what happens if you get denied. You're going to get denied, for sure. You have to understand that OWCP is a workers' comp insurance company. Okay, now they actually do want to get your claim accepted because that is the least amount of work, is accepting the claim. If they deny your claim, you do have to go back, and it causes them extra work. They have to write a letter, denial letter, and then review way more documents when they come in to satisfy what's needed to get your claim accepted. So, if your claim, that's actually when your claim gets denied, you have four options to appeal the decision. The first option is called review of written record. Okay. Review of written record is okay. I've personally never recommended anybody do a review of written record because essentially what it is they take all the documents that they've looked at already, mm-hmm. everything that they looked at already, and they go, did we make a mistake here? Okay, so let me ask you, Kenny. Let's say I have you read an entire book, okay, and you give me a book report on it, okay? And then I say, I think you made a mistake, Kenny. Go back and look at all the work that you just did and tell me if you made a mistake. What's the likelihood that you're going to come back and find a mistake?
Not good.
Not good. It's definitely not good.
Not good.
And that's exactly what a review of written record is. All right. They're going through to see if they've made mistakes, procedural errors, things of that. And it's just a process that usually comes back with the same decision that they already put out, which was a denial. The next one is oral hearing, okay? Oral hearing to something kind of elusive in people's minds when it comes to oral hearing. I think probably what they think is that they're going to get in front of somebody, and if they can see my face,
yes,
if they can hear my story.
That's what I'm thinking.
Exactly. And I'm going to feel like, let me just get in front of Kenny, tell him my, and then he'll have to accept the case.
Okay.
And guess what happens? Nothing happens. They get in front of him, they go, yeah, you're still deficient in all of your documentation.
Okay.
Okay. So they'll go through the entire hearing. You will plead your case in front of a mediator. And they're basically at the end of that go, okay, but you still didn't satisfy any of the requirements that we need. So now you have 20 days to go ahead and provide everything, which is not a lot of time.
Now, when you say you still plead your case, I'm actually speaking, or is the representative speaking for me? Or would your organization speak for me?
Okay, so we couldn't speak for you at those union meetings.
Okay.
At those oral hearings.
Right.
But you can bring a union official. That's what I meant to say. I didn't mean to say union meetings. I meant to say you can bring your union official with you as a representative. And yes, you can go as well, or you can just nominate somebody to go on your behalf.
Okay.
Most people go with a representative.
All right.
Okay. And by the way, at any oral hearing, if you feel it would be beneficial for your doctor to be there, that is if you can get your doctor to be there. Now, if your doctor does attend, and this is a very, very rare scenario, if your doctor does attend, they can ask some questions directly right then and say, okay, please provide the causation, what caused these diagnosis codes from the accident that was sustained at work. They'll be answering those things, and they'll likely probably have them just write a little report saying such at
is
that
it
time.
Is it common that doctors appear? That's something that would cause... Somebody's got to pay for the doctors to show up there, right?
Exactly. And it's usually going to be you.
Okay.
Okay. The reason why I wanted to bring that up is because it is a possibility for it to happen.
Okay.
And if you do have the means to do that, it can be beneficial for you. Not everyone. In fact, I would say 99 times out of 100, people are not going to have the means to do that, or definitely not the know-how.
Okay.
But for that 1% that can do that, then I would recommend it. Okay?
All right.
I'm not talking about 1%ers here, right? That's not what I meant, right? Well, so at the oral hearing, they're going to ask you questions. What they're most interested in, this is with every single federal workers' comp case out there, what they're most interested in is not so much how the accident at work hurt you, but how the being tossed to the ground, being hit by the car, how this caused your exact injuries. It's called mechanism of injury. We don't have enough time in today's call to get into all of that.
Okay.
But the main thing that they want to know is not that something happened, but how what happened caused this injury. Okay? And that's the report. If it's not written, it doesn't make a difference if you go to an oral hearing or do reconsideration, review of written record or ECAB or anything like that. Your case is still not going to get accepted. Okay? And that is the fifth basic rule of getting a case accepted. Okay? Causation. How did this thing cause the diagnosis codes that you have? It is the most common denial that you're going to get. Okay? So back to oral hearing. You go to the oral hearing. You answer all their questions. And at the end of that, they still go, well, here's the information that you need to bring back with us. Now here's something, right? When you go to the doctor's office, it's tough to get them to write a narrative report for you.
Yes.
On their own time schedule.
You're right.
Patients have to beg and plead sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and then sometimes that doesn't even work, and they have to switch doctors and pay cash for a narrative report to be written. Do you know, I understand that some doctors are charging $2,500 to write a narrative report for you, and guess what happens if the case gets denied?
You just lost $2,500.
And if you go back to them and say, hey, can you rewrite it? Absolutely I can. Another $2,500. Exactly. No one's got that type of cash.
Wow.
Okay.
Now let me say this. If you did have that, I'm just going to make an assumption that that's going to increase the probability of your case being accepted greatly.
Having the narrative report written already?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Everything comes down to that narrative report explanation of what happened.
Okay.
Okay? And it is literally the most common reason why cases get denied. It's called causation. How did this accident cause these diagnosis codes? Okay? Specifically, what they're looking for is something called mechanism of injury. Okay? We don't have enough time for that today, so we're going to move on. But what I was just saying was it's hard enough to get a doctor to write a report for you on his own time schedule. Once you leave an oral hearing and you get that denial letter after the oral hearing saying that, yes, we reviewed everything, but you were still deficient, please bring us back a narrative letter detailing causation of your injury, now you only have 20 days. Now you have to go to the doctor and you have to ride his case every day. Okay, and that is not how you make friends and influence people. Okay, they're gonna hate you after that. You would not believe the amount of people.
I can imagine. Yes.
Yeah. That say, well, I was working with my primary care, and since I got this injury and needed so much help, he's no longer my primary care. I had to find somebody else, and they have to switch doctors so many times.
Okay.
So because of that essence of time scenario after the oral hearing, I do not recommend that. Plus, I would say 97 times out of 100, it's the same exact decision that they walked in with. Okay? The only difference is that the people thought in their mind, if I could just get in front of somebody who will see how injured I am, if I could just get in front of somebody that could hear my voice and the sincerity of my voice, I would say 97 times out of 100, and I'm not a mathematician, a statistician, or anything like that. I'm just giving a guess. It never makes a difference.
Okay.
Never makes a difference.
I got you.
Okay. Now, here is something that I do recommend periodically. Okay. This is not your first option for sure. In fact, I recommend it so infrequently that most times I don't even tell people about it until they've had multiple denials. Okay.
Okay.
And I can clearly see that the agency or OWCP is doing something wrong, and all the five basic elements to get a case accepted have been met, okay? If all the five basic elements to get a case accepted have been met, and they're still not accepting it, I would recommend, and this is periodically, the ECAB. You heard of ECAB? Employees' Compensation Appeal Board.
No, I haven't.
Okay. So there's four types of appeals. Employees' Compensation Appeal Board is one of them. We talked about review of written record and oral hearing.
Right.
Now, here's what happens with ECAB. You send in your appeal form to OWCP.
Right.
Then they get you on a docket in front of three magistrates or judges to review your case, checking case law, previous case law that's been decided. Okay?
Okay.
So this is why this process is not simple. They're going to read your case. The first thing they do is read your case. Have all five elements of to get a case accepted, have they been met? Okay, if so, then they're going to check previous case law to see what the issue is, and then they'll make a determination from there.
Okay.
Here's the main problem with that. If you're off of work, you're in the case of a CA1 case, you ran out of COP already, okay? Now you start using your paid time off hours, annual, sick. You run through that, and now you're just going off of FMLA, which there's no pay assigned to that.
Right. Okay. It's just protection.
It just protects your job. Yeah. It takes at least 6 months to get a docket number to be in front of these guys. Okay. There was such a backlog with Corona, the COVID, right. You know, that they were put. That was at least a year to get heard.
Okay. Yeah, that's just to get heard.
Just to get heard.
Okay.
And now here's the problem. After all that time goes by, they frequently send a letter back saying, your case is still deficient because you haven't met the five basic elements. Okay? So you're waiting that entire time just for them on day one to go, they're missing the five basic elements here.
Wow.
Okay? So you have just wasted at least 6 months. For sure, at least 6 months. But sometimes out to a year. Okay? Mm-hmm. You can appeal that. You can appeal that decision as well. Okay? Now, for everybody who hasn't been paying attention so far, here's what I'm trying to tell you. What you need to choose is called a reconsideration. Reconsideration. Okay? Here's the reason why. In my estimation, and by the way, every case out there is individual to you. I don't know what's happening with your case. I'm not saying that for your conditions right now, you should choose a reconsideration. I want you to hear what I'm going to say in a couple of minutes. I also don't want you to think that I'm giving you legal advice, me or Kenny. Okay,
no.
We're just sharing the information that we know to get you guys the help. Okay, so if you check off reconsideration and that was most likely, or excuse me, that was the wrong thing for you to choose at that point in your case, then I'm sorry. But here is how you use reconsideration. If you've been denied one time, it's likely going to be because of the fact of injury number three and number five. Number three is factual. Okay, did this accident actually happen? There's two parts to that. There's the part that you turn in describing everything that happened, and there's a part that your doctor turns in.
Okay,
stating everything that happened that day as well. Okay, and then the fifth basic element is causation. All right, these two are the number one and number two. Causation is number one. Factual data is number two. The reasons why cases get denied. Okay? Usually it's because the doctor didn't put causation. Now, in the case of a reconsideration, you check off reconsideration. You send off your new information that was gathered since your previous denial came in, which is going to be your doctor's new narrative report. Any CA-17s will get passed into the agency and ultimately get to OWCP, right? Any other data that you've had, that maybe a witness report, anything that you've gathered in the meantime.
Okay.
And you could send all that to OWCP. Now, here's why I think this is the most fair option. I think ECAB is a very fair option, too, by the way, because they're magistrates and judges. Okay. But this is why I think this is kind of the best option, in my opinion. All that work gets sent off to a brand new claims examiner who has never touched your case before. It's a brand new, fresh set of eyes.
Okay.
They will go through and they'll say, okay, let's see what happened originally. Let's see why they got denied. Okay, yeah, the report wasn't good enough. Okay, now here's the new report. And then they can go make the decision from there. They're not worried about, did I make a mistake on the first time around, and now I have to approve it for that. Kind of similar to what they would feel like if they were doing a review of written record.
Okay.
In the case of a reconsideration, your entire case file gets transferred from one claims examiner to a senior claims examiner who has not heard of you before at all. Okay. They get to look at all your documents fresh, clean eyes, and make their own decision on what you've sent in. Okay.
So if you're going through that reconsideration process and now they're sending that claim, your case to another claims examiner, is that better or worse if you just
So in my eyes, it's better because you've got a fresh set of eyes on it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
I don't like any of that extra baggage that was left over.
Okay.
From the first claims examiner, you know, having that in their mind when they're looking at it.
All right. That makes sense.
And now I want to tell you guys something real quick. You're not going to hear me say this a lot, or a lot of people say this, but treat your claims examiner nicely. Okay. The minute they get into work, they're being hated on the entire time.
Yes.
Okay. No one calls them and says hi. It's usually get their claims. How come my claims not accepted? I don't have it. And they just yell and scream. Okay. You know, I had a guy in my office one day. He said, you know, I just really want you to talk to my claims examiner. I said, but I'm not going to be able to. They're not going to just do something because I said so. Right. Yeah, but you're from my doctor's office. I said, look, I'll get on if you're going to feel better about it.
Uh-huh.
What I didn't know at that time was when he was calling in, he was planning to murder this person over the phone. Okay?
Okay.
How do you think that teed me up to talk next?
Yeah.
Right? And so he's yelling and swearing at the claims examiner. And I'm saying, I can't say tell you his name, but I'm saying, sir. He said, give me the phone. Now I grabbed the guy's hand, snatched the phone out of his hand. And I said, I'm really sorry about that, but sir was having an issue over here. Let's talk, okay?
Okay.
They're used to getting yelled at from the time they get in. What you don't want to have, it's part of your record, is that Kenny's combatant when he calls.
Yeah.
Kenny was very upset today again when he called, okay? You do want them to say, Kenny called up and he was nice and courteous. You know, he asked me questions, calm, collective. Okay. I could tell he was under stress, but he was remaining civil and not yelling the entire time.
Okay.
Believe me, guys. Believe me when I say this. Claims examiners want to get your case accepted. It is the path of least resistance for them. Okay? Just all the components have to be there in order for that to happen.
All right.
Okay? So, getting back to reconsideration. You cannot do a reconsideration and not send in new documents. Okay? You absolutely... Okay. When you fill out that appeal form, have to check off reconsideration, fill out the bottom of it, of course, okay? And then send in new documentation from your medical provider at that point, okay? That is what they're reconsidering.
So without additional new documentation, you definitely are not going to go the reconsider route for appeal.
Exactly. All exactly. Right. You will just get denied. In fact, a letter they'll send back to you says this: Kenny, we received your reconsideration. We received your reconsideration request last week, and we're going to look into it. But we don't know what to look into because you haven't sent anything yet.
And it makes sense.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So once they get your appeal form and the new medical, now there's something to reconsider. Okay.
Right.
So. Here's the difference when it comes to reconsideration. They got 60 to 90 days to approve or deny what's being considered at that point. Okay, but if you have to do a denial again, you have 1 year to submit documentation. Okay?
Okay. Right.
So obviously you don't want to wait a year.
No.
Okay. I will tell you, every once in a while we get somebody who's like 11 months and 29 days into this thing, and they're like, "Can you get us to help?" No, we can't. No one can do that. You know.
That's
so
true. Okay.
Start working on it right away. You're hurt. If you're off work, you've got nothing better to do really. And I know that sounds insensitive, but you work on your case during that time.
Yes.
Okay. So in the case of reconsideration, you got 1 year to submit new documents. That means you don't have to go back to your doctor who's willing to work with you right now and kind of doing you a favor in his eyes and beg to get it done on time frame. Okay?
That makes more sense to me.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And what you know what people are being told?
What's that?
Do an oral hearing.
Because if until I heard it tonight, I would probably gravitate to the oral hearing also.
Yeah.
Again, let me let the doctors, the board see my injury.
Yeah.
Let them see me. Let them hear me. I would bank that that's going to be my best route.
Right. And I wish I could call OWCP and say, on that appeal form, please put the following disclaimer on there. Don't do it. Just say no. It's not worth it. So also, let's say in the future that you actually need to go in an oral hearing. Because you have met all the five basic elements to get your case accepted.
What are the five elements?
The case has to be timely filed. For a case to be timely filed, it has to be reported within 3 years, not 30 days. Okay? A lot of people are being told it's 30 days, and it's not 30 days.
Everybody's being told 30 days.
Exactly.
But we try to always correct them.
Yeah, exactly. If you want, in the case of a CA1 case, okay, it's 30 days to file to be eligible for COP, continuation of regular pay.
Right.
Okay? But you have 3 years from the date of injury to file. All right. And the same thing with the CA2 case, by the way. Okay. So it has to be timely filed. The second one is you have to be a federal civil employee. So all of you are federal civil employees. Okay. What a civil employee is you're not military. Okay.
Okay.
So that's pretty easy to meet. Do you know that we've actually had this be denied one time because they weren't able to verify that someone was a federal civil employee? The only thing that you can do at this point is just give them your ID. That's how you solve that. Okay. Number three, we talked about earlier, because I told you it is the second reason why cases get denied the most frequently, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is called fact of injury. There's two parts of fact of injury. There's what you're telling the agency happened in a written statement. And if you don't know how to write that statement, if you go to federalinjurycenters.com, go to the videos page, at the end of the CA2 video, how to fill in your CA2 video, I teach you how to write a statement. Okay, the detail that you need explaining how you got injured at work. That's exactly part one of part three that needs to get done. There's a second part of fact of injury, and that's the medical component. That's the medical component. Your doctor has to put a narrative report together, basically stating, here are the facts of what happened, and here are my diagnoses. Okay, so we're actually going to just jump a second to number five. We're going to skip forward just for a second. We'll come back to it. Okay. The reason for that is because that medical report that the doctor is writing for you as part of fact of injury in part three has to have a causal relationship to your injury. Causation is not stating Kenny Hodge got hurt on January 1st, 2022, caught his finger in a door jam, right? That is not causation. What they want to know is how did the door closing on the finger cause the injury? That's what they want to know. Not that your finger was closed in the door on that date, okay? If they can't do that, they're not meeting the fifth basic element, which means that even though they are doing the medical portion of fact of injury, you're still going to have a denial on your case, okay? However, if they are able to link the injury to what happened, then you will get approved. And then number four, the last thing that you would have to satisfy is what's called performance of duty. Were you or were you not in the performance of duty when the injury happened? And just by the way, a lot of people don't know this, so I like to tell people periodically, you're allowed to get to work early, okay? You are considered in the performance of duty if you're on the premise up to about a half an hour before your work shift starts. Let's say you get there, you're walking in, you're getting prepared, you slip and fall and hurt yourself, you're not even clocked in yet, you're covered. Did you know that?
You know, let me tell you real quick. There was an accident in the parking lot at City Gate where I worked. Neither employee was on the clock. And I don't know, I was out of town for about 2 weeks. And when I came back, I heard about it. And I asked, did anybody file CA1s? And the management, they weren't on the clock, they was on the clock. And I called Chris. And I ran that case by Chris. Chris and I helped both of those folks get their CA1 accepted.
Wow.
And got their automobiles repaired.
Wow, nice.
So,
nice.
So again, not on the clock, but they're on the property. They met the performance of duty criteria, and their claims were accepted.
Yep.
Was accepted.
Nice. Okay, that's a perfect example of,
yes,
of that working out just like that.
Okay.
So now that you've met all five elements, your case can get accepted. All right, so in closing, going over which appeal to choose, I would say almost every single time, choose reconsideration, especially if it's your first denial. Okay? If you are confident that you've met all those five elements that we just talked about, and you've got a little bit of time to wait, you could do ECAB, okay? You could also do, if you have all five basic elements met and you know that for sure, then an oral hearing is great, okay? Up until that point, I would do reconsideration for everything. So here's a quick way to figure it out. If they send you a letter back that says you have met the fifth basic element, that's the only time that I would say that an oral hearing would be helpful, okay? Otherwise, reconsideration, reconsideration, reconsideration. Now, Kenny, I wanted to tell you something real quick before we wrap up. Next time, we're going to be going over, my supervisor said X, Y, and Z. Is that true? Okay, what we're hearing a lot right now is my supervisor said I can't file a claim.
Yes.
My supervisor said we don't give out CA-16s here. My supervisor said I got hurt off the clock, so I'm not covered. So here's what I want you guys to do on the Facebook page. Go ahead and put in the comments what your supervisor has told you, or you heard somebody, my supervisor told them this. Okay, and we're going to answer those questions live next time.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tom, for hanging out in Kenny Hodge podcast studio. And to the podcast audience, listen, on the Tuesday nights, I dedicate the airtime to injuries at work, OWCP. I've partnered up with Federal Injury Centers, again, because if I'm going to bring you any information, I want to bring you the best. And co-hosting the show every Tuesday will be Tom Giampa from Federal Injury Centers. And every once in a while, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Chris Helms, will visit the podcast. And when that happens, then it's Chris's show. Hey, listen, this is Kenny Hodge from the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Stay tuned, and I'll keep you informed. Let's say goodnight, Tom.
All right, goodnight, everybody.
No show would be complete without thanking the band, Dave Brantley and Tony Berkheimer, the Postal Jamming Guys, always providing smooth background music.